This is a very special episode of Game Maker's Notebook. I am Bob Raffi. I'm the CEO founder of Big Robot Entertainment. We had a great interview today with Roman Jondo, who is a concept artist at Sucker Punch, working on The Ghost of Tsushima. And his piece, The Cove, was one of the 16 finalist selections for Into the Pixel. And incidentally, I'm one of the judges for the show, where we look at sometimes hundreds of artwork and select the very special ones that we feel are a great fit for the show. And The Cove was one of those special pieces. In the podcast today, we discuss Roman's background, his process, the day-to-day workings at Sucker Punch, and also what is it like for a concept artist to hone his craft, and where does the inspirations come from? So I hope you enjoy it.
Welcome to the Game Maker's Notebook, a podcast featuring a series of in-depth one-on-one conversations between game makers providing a thoughtful, intimate perspective on the business and craft of interactive entertainment. The Game Maker's Notebook is presented by the Academy of Interactive Arts and Sciences, a member-driven organization dedicated to the recognition and advancement of interactive entertainment.
Roman, right?
Yeah.
Like a gladiator.
Yeah,
exactly. All right. I like it. Tell me your background. Where are you from? How did you get into concept art?
So I'm originally from France. I grew up in Marseille by the Mediterranean Sea.
Heard a lot of great things about Marseille. Yeah, I want to go there one day.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, you should. Here.
Yeah. I went to art school over there for about 5-7 years. I learned fine arts and 3D animation. And then I moved to Paris to start working in the industry, more like animation industry at first. Mm-hmm. I actually started to work in video games about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I think. Mm-hmm. I worked at Quantic Dream first. I worked on Detroit. Then I moved at Warner Brothers in Montreal and now at Sucker Punch in Seattle.
Cool. There's a lot to unpack there. So
yeah.
I'm going to go back to the beginning. Growing up in such a, I'm sure, a beautiful place. I've seen vacation photos. I know a lot of people like love going there to Marseille. Talk about how that influenced you as a kid, you know, because I also have concept art in my background. And for me, growing up in the having woods around my house was instrumental to where I am today. What's your path?
Well, I love the ocean. I love the sea, so I guess that's the big influence for me. I love Marseille. I love where I come from.
Yeah.
Nature is a big influence for me. So even now living in Seattle, I just love being by the ocean, by the mountains. It's I would say nature is a big thing.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And do you find that nature is a foundation of your work? Do you tend to gravitate towards more organic themes?
Yeah. I like to do sci-fi, but I always try to implement some natural stuff inside. Organic. Yeah.
Cool. And you, given that you're, I know the life of a concept artist can be very nomadic. You mentioned a lot of different studios.
Yeah.
So how did you wind up working at Sucker Punch today? We are celebrating the painting that is in the show. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
And truth be told, I'm part of the panel as well, who goes through all the submissions. And it's a really tough job because there's so many beautiful artwork. And your painting really resonated. So talk about how you actually got to Sucker Punch. And did they reach out to you? Did you reach out to them? How does that work for somebody like yourself?
So I think I reached out to them. I was working at Warner Bros. At the time, and I wanted to move to the US. I guess I reached out to them. I had to go through a long process with the green card and everything. Fortunately, my wife is American, so that helps a lot. That was about 10 months ago now.
Cool.
And it's a good move.
Awesome. You said, your prior work, is it mostly games or is it a mix of film and games?
So at the beginning I was working actually a lot for advertising.
I see.
Then I did a little bit of TV shows, animated feature films, more like on the cartoony side. Actually, Quantic Dream was my first realistic job, concept art realistic job. Yeah.
Cool. And I know I was the art director at Naughty Dog, so we had a transition from stylized to realistic during the transition from the Jak days to the Uncharted days. That was a huge revelation for me as a concept artist. Talk about your process. Do you use a lot of? I'm sure you use a lot of reference, but do you use 3D? Do you use photo reference? Do you photo collage? What's your process?
So I don't use a lot of 3D for my personal work. At least for that piece for Circle Punch, I did use some 3D because I have the 3D from the environment team, which is very simple 3D, but I sort of paint over that, and I do use a lot of photos too. Yeah. I can spend a full day just looking for pictures before I start anything.
That's the fun part, isn't it?
Yeah. I like it actually. Yeah.
it really helps because my background's also illustrator in school. And the worst thing I know is having that white canvas.
Oh, yeah.
So how do you get past that? How do you break through and the hardest part, which is just to get something going?
Well, just spending, like I said, sometimes a full day on online, you know, and like looking on Google, Flickr, wherever I can to get some ideas, find some cool references. It really helps.
Yeah.
It feels like a long time one day.
Right.
But it makes you go way faster after because you have everything you need. Yeah.
And you mentioned you paint over 3D. Is that 3D usually provided by the team or do you sketch up yourself?
I used to use it a little bit, but not at Circle Punch because they already provide some solid 3D. Yeah.
Right. And I know the beautiful image that's in the show right now is a key art. How often do you do key art versus helping the team out with just fleshing out the screenshot and so on?
I don't know. It really depends. Maybe 75% of the time. I'm pretty lucky, I guess.
Yeah.
Because, yeah.
You're doing key art 75% of the time?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a really uncommon place for you're a full-time concept artist, right?
Yeah.
So you're on staff.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It is cool. Like I do some paint overs, like quick stuff sometimes, but I try to like do it super quick so I can focus on key arts. Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of our listeners might be aspiring concept artists. So it's really key. I want to take a step to talk about how lucky you are to do that because majority of internal concept teams are needed to help the modeling team set dress. And a lot of times, as you know, and tell me if this is your experience, you get block mesh, right? And it's completely abstracted. Do you actually paint over block mesh or do you get the environment mostly fleshed out after that?
It really depends. I feel like at Circle Punch, it's already pretty far in the process. So sometimes we already have textures and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I can even take screenshot from the game, you know, and paint over. Mm-hmm. So when I was working at Quantic Dream or Warner Bros., it was like really simple 3D, like gray stuff from SketchUp, not from the game.
Right.
So it's... At Circle Punch is pretty great. Cool. It makes me go way faster.
Nice.
Yeah.
Which do you prefer? More of a broad canvas, like a full gray mesh, or do you prefer to have something that's mostly fleshed out so you just got to really bring it to life?
It depends. If it's my own stuff, I like to start from the beginning.
Yeah.
But if I work on a game with a team, I like to start from 3D because I know it's going to be super accurate and I know it's going to match what the environment team is doing. You know? So, yeah.
So we talked about a little bit about the process, but let's talk about how you work with the rest of the team.
Mm-hmm.
Do you usually work with the art director or the environment lead?
Both.
Both.
Yeah.
And what conversations do they usually have? What's the motivation for an image? And we can use the one that's in the show as the example.
Yeah. Okay. So we talk a lot about gameplay because it's not necessarily something I think about myself. So I need to talk about this with them first. To make sure it's going to work in the game. And then I try to add some sort of story, background story to it. And yeah, we share ideas and we bounce, you know. That's how we do it.
How often is it completely deviate from what the team wanted? Because based on discovery, you came across something. Or is it just typically the art director or the environment lead or both have a very strong idea of what they want and you just have to bring it to life?
Yeah. It's not always the same, I feel like, but they usually have at least a basic idea of the mood, you know, what it's going to be like. And then I try to add some of my story, like I was saying, you know.
Right. And do you speak with designers as well?
Yeah.
So it's part of the same,
yeah,
same conversation. So actually, let's walk through the process.
Yeah.
Is it a meeting? How do you kick off the conversation?
So yeah, there is usually a meeting, not a super long meeting, not a ton of people, but we kind of talk a little bit about the idea of the place. And then I would talk with, most of the time, with 3D environment team. And, you know, sometimes we just draw a map of the place, make sure we are on the same page. Mm-hmm. And either I would start by myself from a blank canvas, or if they have time, they can block something in 3D and I would start after them.
Right.
It depends. Yeah.
Right. And game development is an iterative process. So has there ever been an example of you painting something that's completely irrelevant by the time the environment is finished?
Like, what do you mean?
Like, does it, the purpose of the concept,
yeah,
and correct me if I'm wrong, is to give the team a final image,
yeah,
to work through. The, yeah, lighting, it really conveys lighting, it conveys set dressing, the mood and atmosphere. So it really is beneficial to the rest of the team. But development happens,
oh, yeah,
you know, and things change all the time. So,
yeah,
do you have an instance where what you drew was so different from where the team ended up that it was totally irrelevant?
Right now, I can't think of anything that is like super different, but it's always a little bit different.
Yeah.
It's usually better at the end.
Yeah.
You know, they take what you do and they, mm-hmm, usually make it better, which
that's
is awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. The fact that there isn't much deviation means your team really is well honed and
yeah,
they have the process down. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
What, where do you struggle? Now, you said before we started recording, are you a gamer yourself? Do you play games often?
I do play games, not a lot, but
yeah,
I do play games.
Sure.
Yeah. I love Naughty Dog's games,
sure,
Sucker Punch
Who
games.
Who doesn't?
Yeah,
Sucker Punch,
exactly.
Yeah. It's just,
yeah,
all the first parties are amazing.
Uh-huh.
Talk about where you struggle. It doesn't,
yeah,
have to be, I just brought up the gameplay aspect of,
mm-hmm,
it,
mm-hmm,
but you know, Where are you challenged?
So I guess from my background, I'm not used to work with gameplay because the games I worked on before, like Detroit, there's a very limited gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
So I find myself sometimes forgetting about this. I paint a concept like if it was for a movie or something. I don't necessarily think about what the player is going to have to do. And sometimes I have to like go back and not start over, but think about it again.
Right.
You know, yeah.
Do you have like an example? Is it like the camera placement a lot of times?
It's more like, it's more architecture,
mm-hmm,
placements, how the player is gonna walk in the space.
Right.
And, you know,
right,
yeah.
Cool.
This is gonna be interesting enough to,
yeah,
play, you know?
Yeah. Now the subject matter that you're working on happens to take place in ancient Japan.
Yeah.
How do you try to make it seem like we're time traveling with you?
Yeah.
To find these details in the image. So what's your process?
Well, I do watch a lot of movies, a lot of photos. Yeah, try to watch as much references as I can.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the team that I work with, they started a while ago on the game.
Right.
So they already have a lot of knowledge about,
mm-hmm,
it. So they also explain to me what,
right,
I can and what I cannot do. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you, anybody from the team actually go to Japan to take,
yeah,
some photos?
Yeah.
So there was,
yeah,
a exertion.
That was before me. They went there, took a ton of photos.
Yeah.
I wish I could go myself
sure,
and take some pictures as well.
Yeah.
That would be awesome, but we'll see.
Very cool. And this is, I imagine, your sweet spot because it's a very organic,
exactly,
environment.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's
fantastic.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, does that mean you struggle with sci-fi or it's just a bit of a different animal?
I like both.
Yeah.
Like I like everything, seriously. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. From a day-to-day perspective, what part of the day-to-day aspect of creating these beautiful images or meetings or whatever it might be is your least favorite part of the job? Is it the meetings? Is it the concept
meetings.
Reviews? The yeah.
Meetings, yeah.
Why is that? It just goes on and on.
I don't know. I'm just not a big fan of meetings.
Yeah, yeah.
They have to happen, right? So,
mm-hmm.
But
is there ever a case of disagreement with your art director?
No. So wow. far, not. Yeah.
Come on, man. I'm trying to pull some dirt here. Yeah, no, seriously. Like, you guys are just a well-meshed team.
No, it's flowing.
That's great.
It's going pretty well. Yeah. Cool. I can't complain about anything.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Cool. And when we turn off the mics, that's when you can tell me.
Yeah.
Okay. You are in a great place in your career. Uh-huh. So where do you want to go from here?
I don't know. I'm fine where I am right now. Mm-hmm. So I want to develop my own ideas, my own projects maybe.
Yeah.
That's what I have in mind right now.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Cool. Do you have any other artists that really inspire you? It doesn't have to be anybody working today. It could be in history. It could be prior artists.
I really love what the guys over at Naughty Dog are doing. Mm-hmm. Big inspiration for me. I also really love Miyazaki still.
Yeah.
Big influence. And Moebius. You know, yep. I love Moebius.
Yep.
That would be, Miyazaki and Moebius are huge for me.
Awesome. Yeah, that's the typical milestones for a lot of artists. Both Moebius and Miyazaki have such an amazing blend of organic and it's for me as well. It's hard not to look at their work when you're trying to do something.
Yeah, it's going to stay forever.
Yeah. And in terms of the process itself, do you ever actually paint with traditional medium or have you always been digital?
I used to paint with real paint and draw a lot when I was in fine art school.
Right.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
I still draw sometimes. I try to do Inktober, this kind of stuff.
How important do you think for aspiring artists to make sure that they understand the traditional mediums?
Honestly, I don't know. I think it's great to know.
Yeah.
Do you have to know it? I'm not sure.
Right.
I think it's great to know, and it's also super fun to do.
Yeah.
But it's not necessary, I would say.
Well, that's good to hear because I feel like there is a benefit for sure.
Yeah. Oh,
for staying traditional before you start to struggle with the medium. Mm-hmm. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I find a lot of times that what young artists are missing is the understanding of anatomy or layout or composition before they start relying on the digital tools doing the work.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. You have some people saying that you don't need to learn all that because now you have 3D and you have photo bashing techniques. I disagree. I think you really need to learn anatomy and learn the basic of lighting and color theory. Mm-hmm. It's a great plus. It's going to make you understand how everything works, and you do need to understand.
Yeah.
Before doing any 3D or photo bashing.
Totally agree. So for all you young artists out there, don't rush to the tablet and Photoshop and all these other tools. Definitely learn your craft first.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, you can learn anatomy on Photoshop, right? You don't have to draw on paper. It's better, I think.
Right.
But if you like Photoshop too much, you can just learn anatomy like that.
Right. I fell in love with character design. Mm-hmm. I think because one of the hardest classes I had at my school, Parsons in New York City, was we started out in our freshman year. We had, 3-hour poses. It was painting. You had to really draw it. By the time I was a senior, there was a class where we had a ballerina. She wouldn't stop.
Yeah.
So we had to, just like.
Awesome.
Three major lines.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
Go, go, go. And the teacher was great. I remember he was very intimidating walking by him as a freshman because he's always yelling at the class. Change, he would keep saying.
Yeah.
So the model would change, and after 30 seconds, you'd be like, oh my God, I can't draw that. Mm-hmm. But that really forces you to take a mental snapshot.
Yeah.
Did you have classes that really stay with you at your academy?
Yeah, it was sort of like that. Yeah, in fine art school.
Very cool.
A lot of poses. I failed a lot, mm-hmm. but that's how you learn. So, yeah.
Since your a lot of work is photoreal, have you done any stylized work?
Yeah, I used to do a lot of cartoon, and I still do actually on the mm-hmm. side. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily post it online,
right?
But I still work for advertising, and I still do a lot of cartoon stuff.
Cool. And since the current game is a samurai game, do you have any favorite samurai movie? I'm sure you guys have been soaking in that genre for a long time.
Well, it's hard to find a name right now, but the one that comes to my mind is Seven Samurai.
Oh, of course.
I would watch the screenshots we have like every day almost. It's because it's super accurate historically.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
it's also a great film.
It is.
George Lucas references that a lot in his growing up as a mm-hmm. young director. So what tips would you have for aspiring artists who want to get into the industry, want to eventually become somebody like yourself?
It's going to be like everyone say, just practice.
Yeah.
Practice a lot. I would also say do not draw 12 hours a day. Also try to go outside, look around you, travel if you can.
Good point.
It's not just all about practicing. It's also about feeding your mind.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I actually have a sketch pad or a something next to my my bed, because a lot of times ideas come to me first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
Whether it's because I've been stewing in it overnight, my subconscious had a chance to work through it. There has been some eureka moments at like 5 a.m. Like, oh my God, I got to write that down before I lose it. Because I have lost it in the past. I'm like, wait, I woke up to something brilliant.
And sometimes, and then you forget.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But sometimes when I look at it again at 10 a.m., that moments of brilliance at 5 a.m. wasn't so, so awesome. I would say, I would answer that question since I now have teenagers. I have a daughter who's showing to have aspirations of being an artist.
Cool.
Have you heard of the 10,000 hours rule?
Yeah.
You know, it's a bit of a cliche and trope, but I really believe in it. And I have lectured at high schools and places like Noman. And it's important for people just to do it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just do it.
Of course.
It goes the Nike saying, because you're going to be terrible, right? And if you assume that I'm terrible because I can't do what Roman the Gladiator is doing, then you're never going to get past it, you know? And if you have the love, you have the motivation for it, just do it. And then you will get past. The more you do it, the better you get.
Yeah.
Let's take the surprise out of it. Your first couple of thousand hours are going to suck. Okay.
So no surprise. Everyone started there. Like that. Everyone sucks at the beginning.
Yeah. And I'm sure there's moments that you look at the artwork and say, oh my God, I can't believe it.
Of course. All the
happens.
Time.
How often does that happen?
All the time. Like what I'm doing right now in 2 years, I'm probably going to be like, yeah, it's always
so
like that.
So you're telling me as a professional concept artist who's on working for these awesome companies that you struggle as well?
Oh yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I was just, saying that for dramatic effect because I know that's part of the process.
If you don't struggle, you're doing it wrong.
Exactly.
I think, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's that struggle that breaks through to the final achievement,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
For me, whether it's game development or the piece itself, once you get past that struggle and have achieved something that you think is pretty good, it's a great feeling.
You know?
And all that challenge that you had to work through seems to be worth it at that time. But then you go through that process again, right?
Yeah.
So it's just ups and downs
always.
All the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. So people out there who want to get involved with concept art, learn your craft, just keep drawing. I think master studies is a good way of learning.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. And you also have a lot of new schools now out there online.
Yeah.
You know, with great content.
Oh, my God. Great point.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that I talk about to young artists is that there is so much wealth of knowledge and information on the internet.
A lot for free on YouTube, you know, it's crazy.
And
yeah.
There is no reason to have your parents' hard-earned money
mm-hmm.
that has to go to university or someplace like that. You can get started right now today.
And no one is going to ask you for a diploma.
Absolutely.
So
that's a really good point.
Yeah.
When I've been on the other side more than I have been on the concept side for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm looking at resumes, actually, let me take that back. I never look at resumes.
Yeah.
I look at the artwork.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Because it's the artwork that means everything. I think people go to universities to make the contacts with their peers. A lot of times it's those peers and that network that you build that can turn into something special in the future, whether it's on a project or relationships professionally that you're working with. But it's really there's so much information out there.
Yeah.
There's so many how-to videos.
Oh, yeah.
That there is really no excuse.
Yeah.
Nobody has. If you want to do it, just get out there and do it. And surprise, you're going to be awful. But it's that understanding of how to what did I do wrong? Let me keep trying. Let me learn my craft more, mm-hmm. right?
And talk to people as well.
Yeah,
you know, because people help each other. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. You have a big community.
Yeah.
So, and because you have these kind of technologies or techniques doesn't mean everything we've been doing before is not going to exist anymore. You know, there is room for everything. So
absolutely.
When I hear people saying, yeah, photo bashing is not real painting or real concept art, it is, yeah. you know, and you can still paint if you want.
That's right.
There is room for everything.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that kind of bias that was holding us back in mm-hmm. the beginning. So I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
It's just really learning the craft and just doing it.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I thank you for your time. I've learned a lot from you personally. Before we go, it would be nice to understand if anybody wants to take a look at your work and if they want to follow you. What's your social media accounts?
So I use ArtStation a lot. So people, mm-hmm. you know, you can type my name in Google and ArtStation will pop up.
Cool.
Yeah.
And do you have a Twitter handle?
No Twitter. I mean, I guess I have one, but I don't use it.
Yeah.
People can follow me on Facebook though.
Yeah.
And Instagram.
Yeah.
It's just my name.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not on Twitter.
Okay.
I probably should be because it's a good way to get to, but it's just another distraction for me.
Yeah.
And frankly, I've been out of trenches for so many years that I'm intimidated by people like yourself on ArtStation. So
yeah.
I haven't had the guts to put up my artwork on ArtStation.
Yeah. I like to go there and I hate it as well
because
it's a slap in the face every time.
Very cool. Roman like a gladiator. Fantastic conversation. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah,
and I
me
look
too.
Forward to seeing more work from you and the Sucker Punch team.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
And thanks to Interactive Arts and Sciences for this great conversation.
Thank you for joining us for the Game Maker's Notebook. For more information on the Academy of Interactive Arts and Sciences, our podcasts, and our other initiatives, please visit www.interactive.org.